This is an interview with Mrs. Rosalind Spear concerning Premont around 1909.
My dad had to come to Texas. Well, he was advised to come south for his health.
Oh, no.
He had had several severe attacks of pneumonia, and the doctor recommended a warmer climate.
Mm-hmm.
So, about that time, these agents were all coming around and telling what a bonanza it was down here. You could just grow anything, and there wasn't anything, there was no industry or anything like that to go. But you were supposed to be a farmer then and raise your own food, and I don't know what else where you were supposed to get any money from, but nevertheless, they bought.
What was the name of the company?
It was the Gulf Coast Company.
Gulf Coast, yeah.
Texas Gulf Coast Company.
Mm-hmm.
And they had bought the Galveston Ranch, or well, they were selling the Galveston Ranch. And most people bought 10 or 20 acres or something like that, because you were supposed to be able to make a living off of 10 acres. So we came down here, and that was quite a trip coming down, because we had chair cars, and they didn't lean back like they do now, you just sat straight up. We got into St. Louis, and it was raining, and we had to wait there, I don't know how many hours, for the next train leaving south. And then the next stop was San Antonio, and I think you had to go change train stations there. And then we stopped in Kennedy for a while for Papa to go get the lunch basket replenished, and we thought the train was going off without you, and Papa was having a fit. And there we stayed. It was hotter than the dickens. And we stayed there all afternoon. And then we came on down to Fremont.
Oh, how did you like Skidmore? Did you tell something about the town?
Well, we had never seen an open town like that. We came from the city.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we went to buy something in the store, and the lady wanted to give us stamps back instead of pennies that we had left over for whatever we bought. And so then we walked up the street, and there we saw our first pigs. And a Mexican man came out and saw us standing there with the fence looking at him, and I guess jabbering about him, and he asked us if we want to buy them.
Oh, wow.
So, coming down on the train, and they only had little oil lights, you know, and it was so dim and dark in there. And then to get off at Premont, of course, we had friends here.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed with them until our furniture came. But one night, we slept in the freight car. The day that our furniture came in, that night we slept in the freight car on the mattresses. I didn't sleep. I was afraid trains were going to come along any minute and just hook onto us or get us someplace else. Where I had lived, the trains were going past all the time.
You know, there's only one train south there.
So then we came out and we camped on it. We were in Section 36. We camped up at the roadway there, and Papa bought two turkeys, and we had eaten one, but he left the other one flat in the tree, and of course the coyotes got that. And then when he got the lumber out, he built these platforms to put the tents on. And I don't know how many, within a couple of years, and then out in those outfits, I think, till he built a little shack. And from then on, he started building onto that all the time. And more people were coming in. And things were looking up, I mean, so far as people getting the land cleared.
Well, who usually cleared the land?
Mr. Mullen was, Muren. M-U-R-E-N, I believe was his name. And he built that There was a house there right next to where Barrera's is. Mm-hmm. He built that house. And then the McBride house with some kin folks of his lived in there also. And then they had a, well, from where we were, we didn't get to town very often.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Papa did then go to work for Mr. Murin, but he didn't have a team then. Then later on he rented this place up north of us here, where Costa is, and there was a wagon and team of mules went with that. So then we were able to get around more, because those people lived in the north.
Oh.
They didn't live down here at all. And then the Rhodeses came, and Schneiders, and the Kicks. They had a little colony up there of four or five houses. And that made quite a group, the Holloways, and that made quite a group of young people then.
Well, where'd y'all go to school? Where was your first school?
And we went into Fremont for the first school. And then they opened up a school out here in the country. And on Mr. Vandewart's place. And Bertie Edwards from Lindale, Texas, was their teacher. And she had from beginners to on up as far as they went. That's when I quit school because Mama said she needed me more at home than I did reading novels in school.
Huh. How old were you then?
I was 13 when we came. I was about 16. And then after that, they moved the school. They rented the Schuchert place over here and had school there. And then they moved it over to where the Morgan Chapel used to be. Well, by that time, we were married. But before that is when we used to have our literary society. And then that's when Papa started the Sunday school, got that organized.
Well, where was the first church?
First church was built in Fremont, and that was the Methodist church.
Oh. That's where y'all went to, the one in town.
We didn't go to town, no. Oh. We started our own out here.
Oh.
And then the different preachers, the Methodist preacher from Fowl would come up some Sunday. We'd have dinner on the grounds, and then he would preach. And then the Presbyterian preacher from Alice, I can't think of his name right, he married Limna, then he came down. And each time we knew we were going to have a preacher, then we'd have dinner on the grounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what did they call you when you came down here? The people of the town that was already here. And you came down the train late at night.
Oh, that was the sandsuckers.
Oh, goodness.
That was something to get out and watch.
Was the hotel here when
you
came down?
Yes, the hotel was here. They built that. I just don't know what year they built that, but that when they opened up to sell the ranch, that's when they built the hotel.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, you're saying something about teaching Spanish in school.
Miss Sanchez was the teacher of the first school, and she was having classes at night for those who wanted to take Spanish, but it didn't last long because she wanted to teach it properly, and they just didn't want to have it grammatically. They just wanted to get along enough to make themselves understood. And then we had the next teacher. That's when we were going to town then. Mr. Sims offered to teach a class in Spanish if we got there half hour early in the morning. Well, we didn't get much Spanish because we didn't get there early enough. So that didn't last.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miss McCarkle was the next teacher. And and she had the lower class. She was the one, you know, so she came in on last night's train. But then over when we got over in the other bunkhouse, there was a partition between it, and she was calling out words so loud. Once she said, "Help!" or something like that. And Mr. Simmons says, "She sounds like she needs it, doesn't she?"
Oh, no! I was going to say it, huh? Oh, well, goodness.
Everything like that aroused the kids. Then when we went to school out here in the country, Miss Bertie Edwards was our teacher. And anything that happened to come past that road always was an excitement too, you know. Because you never saw anybody hardly.
Yeah, I knew it was not right.
And then when we had our literary society, somebody had a phonograph and it turned into their dance afterward, and I wasn't allowed to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dancing anyhow.
Uh-oh.
And one night, Papa hauled a barrel of water up for school, and that whole bunch just sat around and we just talked, and they were that loyal that they didn't try to dance while he was around, but he told me afterwards that he knew what we were doing. Oh. He hadn't stopped.
He was going on. Well, how did the land promoters get y'all to come down here? What persuaded you to come down to South Texas? Was it
the climate?
What did you tell me about a lady that came down and saw?
She was just a friend of ours.
And saw the show play?
Yes, they had this show place near La Gloria there. And she was the one that said she must have hit it between Northers. And she said we didn't need winter clothing at all. And as I say, Mama gave it all to the Salvation Army. Boy, we needed the Salvation Army that way.
Because it's in October, right? Right.
And she was the one that saw the vegetables and all growing there. And she also saw the sand fleas, because she's the one that's going to lifted up a handful of sand and said, "My God, it would just leap out of here." She must eat a good pocket of them.
What is the sandria? What are you talking about?
Sandera.
Sandera?
Those were the lines that the surveyors cut, and they were just a path. They weren't roads, they were called senderas.
Hmm. And that's what you had to go 7 miles on?
No, we had enough road then to go to town on, but in between, like from our place up to where we had to go to school, we always followed that.
Oh.
And then when William took me up there in Woody's buggy, and he had a horse, I was scared silly all the way up there, because I forget the horse's name. He was very tender mouth, and he just, any little thing, he jerked, and the big old survey stakes sticking up and stumps and...
Oh, no! You just knew the wagon was going to get
him. And then one night we were in a cart, a two-wheel cart. They had the carts then. And just as we were coming home from a meeting, the Hanes broke and left. I was going flying up. The whole thing went up in the air, and then we went backwards. It just was a good sandy spot.
Oh, my. Oh, no, that's scared you.
We had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We thought we did. We had the parties around in different places.
That's what you had at the hotel mostly, right?
Well, we didn't go in there very much. We just had our own bunch out here by that time.
Oh.
And we just ran. We went back to compete it one night. And we got lost going back there. And they were just about ready to go home when we got there. So they put on their little show they had for that night, and we met that bunch. But you could see Gartner's Light from clear back the Kapita at that time. There wasn't any brush. They were just running mesquite.
Huh.
Everybody from further back, it was just like where it stopped over there by Pierce's. All came over here for their fence posts and threw the brush around here. They said at one time this was all just prairie life until the cattle began coming across from Mexico and scattering the mesquite seeds. That's the way the mesquites got a hold.
Oh, the mesquite trees are from Mexico?
That's what I understood. Because he said this was all sheep country at one time, and they didn't have brush. Only straggly brush. What they had back there was running mesquite. It didn't get any higher than that. But mm-hmm. it took an awful lot of grubbing to get all those twisted roots out from underneath.
Mm-hmm. But the sheep were all gone that time.
Were all gone. Mm-hmm. And then the cow were... they'd be so full of ticks when they would come in. And that was before they had quarantine for ticks, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they would come in when we lived down there for water. It's a mess. Then everybody began fencing out the land, and then they had to take the ranch stock off. But until people began fencing in their own land, why, they still had the cattle there.
It was part of Seelix and Ranch that got sold, or what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why did they sell it? They run out of money?
I don't know why they sold it.
Hmm.
They got $30 an acre for it, which was a good price at that time.
Hmm. Well, what did y'all do at first? You said that Papa just hunted a lot, and they used to kind of survive for a while?
Yeah, the meat that we got was all wild,
mm-hmm.
except for the chickens, and we raised some guineas and something like that. But other than that, it was just all wild game.
How'd the women like it down here?
Well, women didn't. It was hardly, you can't blame them. They all came from places where they had at least gas lights and gas stoves, or maybe coal stoves. And down here, there wasn't anything but kerosene. You had to make kerosene lights, and mostly it was cooking on a wood fire and baking. They were either, and a lot of them hadn't been making their bread for years, and then they'd had to start baking bread. Like one lady said, she was either burning it up or it wasn't done. But she forgot to put wood in the fire.
Oh, no. That's what it is.
We had to chop the wood.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a big letdown from Washington, D.C.
Yes, or even Pittsburgh, PA, too, because we had at least gas lights up there. They had arc lights down the streets, but wasn't like that in Fremont. There was a few then later on that had their Delco systems, like the Schneiders and the Valentine.
What's that?
A Delco system was what they put in. They had a bunch of batteries and that's how Mr. Valentine lost all his teeth, but he had to line it up with a backfire and pop his teeth up.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
Oh, and no ice.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first glass of iced tea after, I don't know how many months we had been here. And I went in to stay with Claudia Baldwin, and she was real friendly with Mary Alice's aunt, Florence. And the freight train came through about 5 o'clock in the evening going south. And he brought a chunk of ice and left it off. And I had supper there that evening, and I had iced tea.
Oh.
Other than that, we had a drink of cold water.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how far did the railroad go there?
But went as far as that time.
That's it.
And then they later on they switched it to the ballet.
Did they have a highway going to South Pierce, or was South Pierce?
Oh, just a road.
I mean, just a road.
Ruddy road.
Was South Pierce ahead of Primo?
Yes,
progress.
Yes, it had been organized before Primo.
Did y'all go there to do some of your shopping?
Yes, we'd go down there, but that was very few and far between trips. Mr. Alden had the first. There was another guy had a store in there, but Mr. Alden really had the first store, and the post office was in the waiting room of the station.
Oh.
Because Mary Alice's grandmother was this. Ayers was postmaster. Mistress.
Well, did they have mailboxes or just...
No, I don't know where you posted your stuff, whether you took it to the station over there. I just don't remember that. But anybody that was going to town would bring everybody else's mail out if they could, you know, and then distribute it because they didn't get to town very often. It was 6 months between trips with me one time.
6 months?
Oh, the week, about Margie, the time you got two or three kids ready to go to town and then behind a mule team to town, what was there in there that then to come home?
Yeah.
Shoot.
How long did it take you to get here anyway?
Let's see. We left on a Sunday evening and there was some snowflakes in the air as we were going to go down to Pittsburgh, see we lived in the suburb. And we went to Pittsburgh to catch the train. And I think it took us 3 days. 3 days and three nights. And that was sitting up on the for a minute. In the car and those Pullman train, and not Pullman trains, but those day coaches were straight. They weren't anything fancy like we got later on.
Because
a chair car now, you know, you just would ride back in. And they weren't at that time. Of course, we kids didn't mind that so much.
Having to sleep in straight chairs.
I was supposed to see. You weren't supposed to be able to travel for half fare after you were 12, and I just turned 13. And Papa would tell me when the conductor would come around to squinch down a little bit.
You could fall over, oh my word. Well, how long did it take your whole day to get in town from the farm?
Or no, it said it could take a couple hours.
Oh, just a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was when y'all had a team.
Yes.
Dad said y'all used to walk most of places.
No. Well, we walked a lot.
The kids did.
Yeah, around here, like from over the house. I walked up to where Chuck Mader lives now, and that was where the Snyders and all in. And every time you took a walk up those roads, well, then when you came home, you had to get the axle grease off your dresses because the weeds would pick the axle, you know.
Oh.
The wagons would... the weeds would pick up the grease out of the axle, and then you'd have to get that out of your clothes before you washed. Oh, that was lots of fun.
What did y'all do for water when you first got out to the farm? Did they have
water? Well, there was a well over at Gartner's.
And Gartner's, how far was Gartner's?
It was a ranch well.
For the what?
It was a ranch well.
How far is Gartner's from y'all's place?
Oh, it wasn't too far. We went through the brush.
2 or 3 miles?
I don't believe it was more than half a mile.
Oh, and y'all just hauled your water?
And we hauled our water there, and at first we'd haul it in a bucket, and Adele and I would have a stick that we'd carry it by the bucket before we rolled. And then Papa fixed up a barrel some way, and we could fill it part way full. And then he had a wire on it, and we both get inside that wire and roll that thing home. But then after he got to working for this man that had the team and the lighter, why, they used to haul it in barrels, and he dug the cistern. And then they take like a day of hauling water, and then fill up the cistern. We always spoke to the bar barrels. It cost 25 cents. And when the grocer would get through with them, why, if you were next on the list, you got a barrel. Then you burned it out to burn the grease out, then you got charcoal in there. But it still didn't taste good for a long time. They had to really get seasoned. And a lot of people drill wells, but it took so long to drill one. I've got to find that diary of Williams about the Job Foster building, drilling wells.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest worked with him. Ernest would know a lot about that.
Well, what did you say that you built a garden in
the lagoon?
Where was the lagoon?
Right down from our house. And we planted under a tree, you know, and you know what kind of ground the lagoon ground is?
Yeah.
Of course, the cattle just
Oh, there you go.
Whatever did come up, I fixed it.
Okay. What caused the lagoon? Or just that it was a low place?
Yes, it's what we call lagoons, with the places filled up with water when it rained.
Mm-hmm. It didn't rain very much back then.
No, we could. In May, we always got a lagoon filler. That was the end of school, and it was so hard to get in and out on the roads because we hadn't any roads till. Those roads weren't graded and fixed until 48.
Oh, my word.
And then in September, right after school started, then it started in again, and we usually get some good ones. It just seemed the beginning and the end of school was so much trouble.
So many.
And then my brother ran the school bus, which was a wagon with the two horses hooked to it. The kids ran half the way, the boys chasing each other along behind. And then Ernest would turn that team out over Friday evening until you'd have to get it Sunday evening. He had one horse there that didn't want to be caught. You know, times of trouble, the whole family was trying to catch that horse for him. And then the next was a school bus, but that was later on. Mr. Plimpton ran that for a while.
Well, how long was it before Papa started farming? Was he the first year he started farming, or did he wait a while?
I think it was about the second year till he got, because we didn't have the money to buy the any equipment, whatever.
Oh.
And then after he began working for Mr. Murin, plowing and planting there, by then he was able to, I don't know whether he deducted that from his wages or not, but he was able to plant our land then.
Well, where did he get the seeds and all that and the equipment and everything?
Well, it was Murin's equipment that we used for the longest time.
Before
Papa was able to buy a team or something.
Did they have a feed store or something? They get the seeds and everything?
I guess they had to get it from Falforius because they were planting seeds and all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they had a Halley's Comet in Fremont over across the track.
What's that?
It was a saloon.
Oh, in Fremont? When was that built? That's a possibility.
Well, when was Halley's Comet? In 1912?
Oh, my
God. I saw it.
You saw it?
I saw Halley's Comet. And I'd have to live to be, how many years? Because it's only comes around every, 75, 78?
It's supposed to come in 1980, something like that. It was around the 80s.
But I saw, I mean, I said, because it was visible, very much so in Fremont, because I was staying in there. We sat out on the porch just watching that. It was so bright.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. That's why I named it the Lane?
Uh-huh. It was coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, far out.
And then they law rated that. Ones went out the windows and everything else. They didn't want to be caught.
What did they rate it for?
They weren't supposed to have a place like that. I guess they were gambling in it also.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, what other stores did they have in Fremont besides Haley's Comet and that one store?
Well, they had the ranch. We're not going to call it, but that was here when we came.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's had several different things have been in it. Mrs. Hughes ran a restaurant at one time, and it had been used for various things. And Mrs. Roberts had a variety store there, and Frank Baldwin in one time and asked her for something, and she said she was expecting it, and he said that's why she did everything, she was expecting it, so he went in and asked her, did she have any new babies, and see whether she said she was expecting something.
Oh, no! Oh, my word. But
that's
still been used right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they just hold the rummage sale and stuff in that.
Or what about the Alden building? What year was that built here?
I don't remember.
What was
that
anyway? What was it used for?
They had a store in it. Alden moved over there. I think that's the last story that he had. Ida May had a store in their market for a while. And then they divided it in two, and then Mr. Alden came in and used one part for a drugstore and somebody else in a dress shop on the other side. It's been used for a little bit of everything.
How long did the hotel exist for?
Well, they must have built that.
And before y'all came, was that
before we came, yes, before we came. And
what year did it burn?
That burned when. Oh, what year did that burn? Doris was a.
36.
Doris was in third grade, I believe, when that burned.
No, it had to be in 32, wouldn't it? Because it's the same spot the schoolhouse was built on from junior high now. Around 32, I guess.
31.
Late
31.
Early.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Mummy was living in it. And she lost all of her furnishings and everything, you know.
What about the brewery? That was here.
The what?
Distillery or whatever it was, brewery.
Oh, that was Haley's Comet across the track. But they had two Fremont papers. I just don't know who put those out.
Well, why'd they have two of everything for a while then?
Oh, it was such a faction. They were fighting among themselves all the time.
These were competition
things? I just don't know. There'd be Charlie Fremont and Charlie Laughlin. Just as thick as thieves one year, and the next year they were that far apart you didn't know who you were talking to, but because they had been like running for one thing one year, bossing. But there was too many bosses in town, too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
Well, could you tell us anything about Charlie Fremont? Do you remember him?
Oh, yes.
What was he like? I mean, I know he's a foreman of Steelers.
He was a big, fat, jovial fellow. I liked to dance. Well, I couldn't push all that front around, but he did.
What about the old Fremont place?
Well, we had many a party over there. We had several box suppers. It was a nice place to go. And there was a cleared area around that building. And that's where I saw my first airplane come down near the Civicsons. They really put on a show for the yokels. They had, it was a biplane. And they did that, what was it, the immobile turn? You like everybody would gasp in front of you and drop out of the sky.
There you go.
We just went through all kind of maneuvers there. We were all there watching. And they were bringing in some people from San Antonio that were having a barbecue, but the countryside wasn't asked for barbecue at that time. We had a lot of 4th of July picnics over there on those grounds, and because the men could play baseball.
And what about the house itself? What did it look like?
It burned.
But
I don't know. I don't know if anybody was living in it at the time or not. See, he died. They found he dead there.
Well, it's been about 42 when he died, wasn't it?
Yes, because folks were away on the...
I went to the funeral.
...a trip. I did, too. They had services at the house.
Mm-hmm. Did he grow up here or what?
He was born in Germany, wasn't it?
He was a Russian Jew.
But, I mean, you know, did Felix and Raisi Cremon or upstate?
No.
He came as a stowaway in a ship upstate.
Yeah. No, I think because they hauled the lumber from there to build this house, and whether they had another place before that, I just don't know. But
he was 13 when he came away.
And it seems like these Jensens were supposed to, whether they were living there or whether they had anything to do with owning some of the section or not, I just don't know. But they were supposed to raise him. But like I say, I don't know how old he was when he came.
I think he was about 10, I'm not sure though.
It was somewhere around there, between 10, 12, or 13.
Did Felix and Raisi like a son, or just part of the ranch? Or?
I just don't know.
Well, was he active in political things, or was he...
Oh, yes, he was very active in everything that went on in Fremont. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much influence he had in Alice, but he was... I would say he was the head man in Fremont.
Was he ever elected mayor or anything like that?
No, they didn't have any mayor at that time.
Not really elected any high offices, just very influential.
No, I guess they don't have a mayor until they incorporate a town, isn't that it?
I guess that's
And I don't think that Fremont was incorporated at that time.
Well, what about the structure of Mr. Fremont's house? Was it two story or one story or?
It was two stories. And but they had such a nice front plate with steps that went up to the second story, and a wide veranda. And then they had the goat corrals behind the house where they brought the goats in every night.
Did they have a kind of like fern leaf plants grown there and a long?
They very well may have because they had a huge water tank right beside the house.
Because there's still some plants out
there.
They're
still there.
And Leland helped build a high kill out there. And that's a Mexican house out of, what is it, adobe brick? Or he called it a high kill. Or whatever that means. But there's another house there for a family to live in.
Oh, it's that structure's still standing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's just a portion of the wall, so it's there.
Oh.
We got a bunch of square nails out of that. One or two out of the boards, and they're still dealing with that.
Did you get a picture that's still there?
See, when it rained real hard, we used to have to go, like, to the jackpot, and then go through the ranch section, because the creek would be down there where you could get across where it couldn't on this road, because this was down and up. And then when they started to drill the, then they upgraded it down a little bit so it made kind of a roller coaster thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they decided to build the bridge, then we had to go around on Gibby's place and then tie the wheels, you know, so they wouldn't run up on the back of the horses going down. And then when you got down the bottom, then you untied the wheels and then from up the other side. we were really, when it rained, we were this side of the Pecos' house. Harold, don't look
where was the old Civics and Ranch house?
What?
Where was the old Civics and Ranch house?
Well, because it's in this ranch section, it's just being cleared.
Where?
In this ranch section, it's just been cleared over here.
Oh, I mean, how many miles from Fremont's place? Approximately.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It was in the section that they kept themselves when they sold the rest of the land.
Oh.
And it was, that's where Fremont was raised, and well, I understood it. They did build a new house up on, it wasn't the Seligson Ranch anymore, but somebody, you know, you remember that, up in there, up around where, the storms have been living in, one of the storms have been living in that house.
You mean up by the highway?
No, that wasn't the place, because it was... Remember
in Las Robinsias?
Yes, it's up on...
Up on Las Robinsias?
Uh-huh.
Well, where did Las Robinsias get started? Is that relatively new, or was that way back
there? I don't know. I guess it went way back there. It's probably another ranch, but...
I think it was all part of the Civics and Union unit.
Could have been,
Mm-hmm.
Seligson's moved to San Antonio, you know, and they didn't live here. They never lived here when we were here.
Oh.
It's Charlie Primo came up there.
Was it, when did Gus Canal start his ranch? Before y'all came too?
Yeah, they had their names before me.
I'm still Catholic, weren't they? Were they very influential, right? I mean, now when the Primo was getting started?
Yes, they were. Alvino and Andres and some more of them.
They got the town kind of started.
Mm-hmm. See, there was a gym there across from, right across the track there, before you go out to the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
You see some pipes sticking up around there where they drilled a well. That was a gym, it was a cotton gym there.
I know y'all raised cotton out here.
Oh yes, that was one of the main crops that they're raising.
Well, good. I didn't think it was wet enough for cotton.
When you got the rain, was?
Yeah. Well, it was mostly cotton and cattle then, right?
Yes.
But,
and then I don't know when they started the dairy herds, because they used to haul that to town in a wagon. Now the Keeters and some more of them got started first, and they hauled it to town and met the train, because it was going in the afternoon at that time. I think not passenger train, but the other kind, and shipped it to Al's. And then when the cans came back, Edwin said, when you knock the lids off, you jump back about 10 feet because it smelled so bad. Stand there.
It had wine ones too, didn't you know? Because I mean, there were wine ones too.
Well, they also tried potatoes. See, it was supposed to be a vegetable country. And I have some pictures here of Schuckerts and Mayors and Listons here with their potato crop. I had a really good talk with some guy that used to live in Fayal at Spirit Golden Wedding over there, and he was telling about what the people I had promised, you know, toward this paradise down here, and have what they got for their potato crop.
Oh my goodness, that's a paradise.
What kind of brochure did they send you up there? How did they sell this people?
It was like a leaflet to them, and telling them, well, Marty, you see, I was only 13 at that time. I just remember the picture on the front, mostly.
That's what I mean, isn't it?
And,
how old are you now, Rosa?
76. And, but it was so pretty, and But when they talked Texas, boy, I was long gone. I didn't want to move. Texas was so far away. And Aunt Carrie wanted me to, we went down to Washington before we came in here, and Aunt Carrie wanted me to stay with her. And I wasn't that kind of a person to want to stay with my family.
Grandma said she cried every night, didn't she, when she got here?
I guess she did. And then
she came out of the big city.
And Papa prophesied she was raised in Washington and Dallas.
Yeah.
More Tony than Pittsburgh. And then Papa had told her when her aunt died, that we called her Grossmutter, that she could go back. Boy, the time we got word down here that she had died, and no money, they had no money to go back with. Mom cried quite a bit that time too.
Well, this brochure that you received, I mean, that was passed around in the North at that time, it led the people to believe that they could just live down here. There wasn't much winter. It didn't so many of them give away their winter.
Well, that's what it said.
Mm-hmm. They gave away their winter clothing.
Uh-huh.
And
they ran these excursions. They reduced the railroad rates. And that's how come the Zaski came to come down. Because they'd bring in these groups and then go around and show them the places. There was another place we went to when they first came, Gartner's. They had a wagon and team, and on Sunday afternoons we'd drive around the country. And I don't know what place we ended one Sunday. And that was one of the show places that they had brought people to show them what they could raise. Because what I remember about it, because it was a woman, oh, she was so, or boomerang, and I think Mr. Gensler was with us that time. He said if you cut a few strings, she could read better.
Oh, my word, she's all strung up so bad. Oh, goodness.
I remember there was one, Lemon used to have one vineyard that was planted to show the people.
Oh,
they took you to these kind of places.
Yeah.
Put a big show.
Yeah.
How was the show place? Do you remember any part of that?
I know. I never saw it.
You never saw it? It was probably a model farm or something like that.
All the men all seemed to love the country, and kids all liked it.
Well, you all had holy water, didn't you?
Oh, yes, we had water for a couple of years. Well, William and I were married in 1914. We came down in 1909. Folks didn't have a well yet. They didn't get it till after that.
Hmm. There's most of the kids that have a well there. Well, how did he plan it?
But Papa did drill. I could say he drilled. He didn't drill. He made a cistern over there. And then when it did rain, that pretty well fill up with rainwater.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between times, they hauled it from Gardner's. Because Gardner's had a deep well. And at one baccalaureate sermon, I do remember, not sermon, but it wasn't a baccalaureate. It was the graduation exercises. Joe Canella spoke. He's the one that, the lawyer from the valley.
He's 90 some odd now.
Uh-huh. And he spoke that night. He said, and they owed much to the northern people that came down here because they didn't know that they were sitting on water as near the surface as what the northern people, when they drilled, found it. They had just these dug wells that they had were shallow wells. And it was mostly salt water, or, you know, I guess it wasn't truly exactly salty, but it was brackish water.
Hmm. This graduation you speak of now, was that from, say, into high school or high school
graduation? High school graduation.
High school graduation.
And he had the address.
How many kids were in the graduation class?
Mm-hmm.
Very small, about 15?
I think there was... In Bill's class, wasn't there 4 boys and 2 girls? Betty Atkinson and what was the other girl's name? And Dora Lobrecht.
Oh, that was 1937.
Oh,
no,
was
that 1936?
36 years.
What year they built the schoolhouse that they abandoned that?
1937.
Well, it was either 36 or 37, I think
it was 36. Then one night, Hewitt gave a graduation speech. And that's the night we'd taken Miss Swain in. And yeah, I don't know whether you kids were alone or not. Hewitt just, it was in Methodist Church. He got to going and he was walking back and forth. William got so tired. He said that must have been the declamation he had when he graduated from college or something.
No noise, huh?
Oh, my word.
Well, did you tell them about the trips you used to make down to Rivera in the horse and wagon? It took you all day to get down?
Oh, yes. That was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
We left here. The gardeners wanted to go to a card party in town. And we left home here about, we were to meet them in town at 11 o'clock. So we did. And we went on to La Gloria. Then we started east. And we didn't go any road over there. We cut some fences, or pulled them, took the staples out, and just kept going. In daylight, why, we traveled all night. And then that next night, we got as far as that flowing well over there, because we camped beside that. In the meantime, we passed the Mexican house, and with all the gibberish we didn't know, but they, when we mentioned Rivera, well, they kept going that we were on the right way, even if we were going through the nowhere. And we camped by that big lake that that flowing well made. And we could hear the train whistle that night, so we just knew we were near Rivera. Well, we weren't too far from Rivera, but what we didn't know was 10 miles out to the beach.
Oh, no.
So we got there, and a norther hit. It was in March. And a norther hit. And Mama, we all went in swimming, though. But I was near froze death, but Mrs. Gartner, she was being cooked that day. And she had made potato soup and biscuits in a Dutch oven, you know, these iron Dutch ovens that you cover with the coal. Gosh, that was the best meal. The big hotel was there then.
Oh, down on the water.
Uh-huh. But those store buildings weren't. But they did have a beach house. They did have bath houses down there.
What year do you think that was, Rosie?
That was, I think that was the spring of, well, what year did William come? Because Ernest and William went down in and afterward rode horseback. It must have been 1911. No, I don't think it was 13. 1911 or 12, it may be in William's diary. But you see, that had already been developed, that coach developed that place, and then it blew up, I mean, blew away or whatever it was, but they still had the
sidewalks and everything went down there, wasn't it?
No.
They?
Not at that time.
Oh, it's too early.
Because from the first time that we were there until I got down there again, they had sidewalks going from that hotel down to the bathhouses and then the big pavilion. And then there were a couple stores built down in there.
Oh.
And then they had good gardens back up in the back there, because we went to the, and there was a flowing well there where we got water, and we didn't like it at all because it had a sulfur smell.
Yeah.
It was kind of sulfur water.
So y'all passed two flowing wells, huh?
Yeah.
But there wasn't any roads down there, they just made a road. The rural did go down to the river.
And then when we did, later, when they made the road across from Falforius and across there, that's when I was waiting. We didn't go that year. And I was pregnant. And it was the year
that William's brother had been drowned. And he was so worried because he let me go. I don't think Bill did. And he didn't come home, and they didn't come home. And he was just about tied, to be tied when they did finally come. But that's when they were building the road. And Lizzie Coots was along with that time. And they had gone in this truck of old man Andrews that he used to peddle meat in. And he had doors in the back blocked from the outside. All in there, they couldn't get out, and every time and they were top heavy like Clinton's school bus. They made the tops, you know, and they were, because the bottoms, the wheels, you know, those old flat wheels are, not flat wheels, but those hard tires that they used to have, those things were so top heavy. And every time that thing lurched, Lizzie could scream. Scrape their way down and back. And another picnic we had down there, Moyer was going to use his truck, only he wanted to go around by way of Kingsville and down Revere and right that way. And we had gone, I don't know whether we were in Mr. Clifton's truck, because we picked up I don't know how many gallons of ice cream, and it was all turned out to be lemon. Well, anyhow, they didn't get there. We were all packed up, ready to come home when Moyer got there. He had one flat after another. And so he didn't charge. I don't know whether they were supposed to pay them for that, but I don't know whether he took any money or not, because he said he just couldn't charge them, because he said, just suppose that had happened on a funeral. Because then he had to have all new tires. Mm-hmm. But poor William, he was actually in the water. He dove off and hit a rock when he got there. Throw up or go the other way. He just sat there stunned.
Sick, huh? What do you mean that flat that was cars in him?
Yeah. Well, his first hearse was a motorized hearse. I don't know what kind of a body now that had one, but instead of going straight with the other truck, he went well around by Kingsville.
You see, it's where the road, so...
It could have been. Maybe the road was better that way.
What year was that, 1920?
It must have been around in the early 20s for that, because... I don't know which one of the youngsters I was waiting on. Whether it was Russell or Doris. So. But we just didn't have to think that we were so old.
So it took y'all 2 days to get to the Revere and
the wagon? In the wagon, yeah.
How long did it take them to look like a little truck? 5 days?
No, it took at least 4 hours, I imagine.
4 hours?
Well, it couldn't go fast.
No.
And they were just building that road. They didn't have it all fixed up. You know, you had to go down on places as fast as it could scratch the way across.
I did hear her. Around her, Uncle Bill has his, and this was the creek. They built a bridge over there, and they just went down with your wagon and everything.
We used to go down with the wagon to it.
That's Fremont Creek there, isn't it?
Right.
I don't know what you call it.
Uh-huh.
And then over on the other road, they, you know, go beyond Cosmos there, you go up the road there. That was another one. Because we were, the girls were going to treat the boys to a supper,
mm-hmm.
And we had the haul. I had the horse and I had the wagon that time, and we went up to Kix and loaded on there on a table and some chairs, and then we come down that floor of the streets in the back road, but you were sliding to the back on the way.
Oh no, down
the other way on the way down, and
That's the first time I ever cleaned a turkey, and Adele Williams, I had never cleaned it. She did that. I never had to do it. And I wanted her to help me or tell me what to do. She said, no, you just do it yourself. So I did. And I tried to, I didn't know that you're supposed to take the crop out from this end, you know. I just tried to pull everything through. Oh, that darn thing had been eating black-eyed peas. I was snowing to this day. Boy.
Now, you said the Lady Bay was started in 1914, didn't you?
Well, we talked about it, but on this book now, it's starting in January 15.
15. Have y'all talked about that tonight while I was getting mm-hmm. there? Well, that's still in existence today. Mm-hmm. First society that was ever here, didn't it?
Well, what did y'all do with the Lady Bay?
Well, we helped buy the chapel and the land, and we would hold suppers for the town people to come out. What was the price for 35 cents? 25 cents or 35 cents?
Just delivered in the wagon. They delivered the meals in the wagon. Well, we couldn't get there. Yeah.
And then it's make special fun.
Yeah. Oh,